And today we are going to continue with two people who have been acknowledged for some incredibly brilliant writing. They're going to share excerpts from what they've written. But first, we're going to meet each of them. And I'd like you now, if you could, to introduce yourself, where you go to school, the grade you're going into, and if you have anybody you'd like to acknowledge or say hello to on the radio, this is the perfect time. I saw somebody peeking in that looked like a brother, maybe. Anybody have a brother here? Maybe it was, well, we'll find out. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nysha. I go to Fort Couch Middle School in Upper St. Clair, and I'm going into eighth grade. My story is The Toy. It's a horror.
A horror story. Mm-hmm. And anybody you'd like to give a shout out to or say hello to?
Yeah, my parents.
Great. And sitting right next to you on your left.
Hi, my name is Elena Zavayos Dejuani. I am going into my freshman year at Shadyside Academy Senior School in Fox Chapel. And my piece is a memoir titled The Vital Factors of Communication and Presence. And it talks a little bit about a personal experience where I experienced a lot of growth. And I would like to give a shout out to my eighth grade English teacher, Miss Falbo, because she was the one who helped me along when writing my memoir and helped it to become the best version of itself. And just a general thank you to my parents and my siblings for encouraging me to come on and giving me the support I need to write well, yeah.
What are the names of your siblings?
I have a 11-year-old brother named Jose Zavayos. And then I have two younger siblings, Penelope, which she's one, and my 6-year-old sister, 7-year-old sister now is Luisa Zavayos, and yeah, those are my...
Thank you.
Of course.
The two of you have at least one thing in common, which is an acknowledgement of the importance of writing. Can you talk for a minute about why writing is important to you?
Yeah, so I think I started out writing when I was younger. I just used to like writing stories. I think writing is important to me personally because I can tell other people's stories, and it like they can connect with me.
That makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. And it sounds like you enjoy connecting with people through your writing. What about for you?
Yeah, I've been writing, like Naisha, for a while now. I've been writing memoirs, just little things about my life. I've been writing realistic fiction, just things that I enjoy or maybe I have an idea about, and I just often enjoy writing it just to get it down on paper. And sometimes I elaborate on those stories, but generally that's how I've written for a while. I really enjoy writing either like for an assignment in school or just generally outside of school to relax my mind, just or maybe getting, like I said, an idea down. But I've written for a while, really enjoy it, and I'm really proud of how it's gotten me far in this competition, Scholastic Writing Awards.
Now, it's going to be really interesting because I think your memoir is true, based on reality. And Naisha, your story, I'm assuming, is fiction because you mentioned it's it's horror involved. So we'll have a real range. And did we decide Naisha's going to go first? I forget.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
So you mentioned your story is called The Toy, and you've got an excerpt from it to share. And please, whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Okay. I escaped upstairs, my gifts all in a little gift bag that came with the Fuggler. Once upstairs, I empty out the gift bag onto my desk. The Fuggler isn't in there. I look around frantically, and then I spot it, perched on the windowsill. nestled along three shriveled flower stems. The leaves yellow, the flower petals on the windowsill, all dried up, and the dirt clumpy and dry. I frown. I take very good care of my plants, and I can't even remember putting the fuggler there. I shake my head, pushing all the thoughts out. I just forgot to water my plants. That's it. But why would one day of not watering them, after tons of care, turn them into this? I'm reaching for my fuggler when my dad appears behind me. No footsteps, nothing. I jump a mile into the air. Happy birthday, honey, he says distractedly, handing me a present. His gaze is on the fuggler. He steps closer, his hand drawn to it as if pulled by a string. No, Dad, don't, I try to warn him, but it's too late. He already has it in his grip. The moment his fingers touch the fuggler, his eyes flash, blue, glowing. But the glow doesn't fade, it grows. He looks at me. Not at me, through me. My blood turns to ice. I stagger back a few steps, then I turn around, breaking into a run. But he's suddenly just there, blocking the hallway. He cradles fuggler, and its face is different now, pinched and malicious, its fake baby teeth, looking like they were stolen right from a baby a long time ago. Mom races to the landing. For a flicker, I swear I see her pupils turn blue too, but she wrenches her gaze away, like she's fighting off something. But she can't hold it much longer. She gasps, shallow, desperate. Then her knees buckle. Mom, I scream. I try to get to her, but the fuggler won't let me. My brother Noah bounds up the stairs, an iPod dangling from his ear. He takes the scene in quietly. What is that? For some reason, the fuggler doesn't have the same effect on him that it does on Mom and Dad. Or maybe it does, but he's just hiding it. How come it doesn't affect me either? Noah inches closer, calm and confident. Dad? Dad lets out a guttural sound, practically animal. Noah lunges for the fuggler, clawing at Dad's fingers, trying to pry the fuggler loose. But Dad's grip is impenetrable, like a wall of steel. His knuckles have turned white from clutching the fuggler's hideous, disgusting face. The fuggler's head jerks up, and he locks eyes with me. Deep in those plastic eyes, I see something flicker. A cruel amusement, like he's enjoying this. I definitely wasn't.
Wow, that was amazing. Did you have some comments to share?
Oh, yeah. I thought that it was definitely an amazing amount of suspense that you had in your story. I thought that I felt almost as if it was just something that could happen at any moment, you know, something that could happen super quickly, super fast. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it kind of left you on like a really, really, really suspenseful part, and mm-hmm. it kept you wanting more. So awesome. Really
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Of course.
Yeah, I liked the detail in it. The analogy, I think it was like pulling a string. I was already really engrossed with the story, but hearing those sorts of things, and is it the fuggler?
The fuggler, yeah.
Or fuggler.
It's like a small stuffed animal. It's kind of creepy. It's like a creepy stuffed animal.
And is that something most people know, or did you invent that?
No, it's like real.
Okay, uh-huh. Okay. You have to realize I don't see many stuffed animals. That was a really good story.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Naisha. And what story do you have? You're going to share part of your memoir.
Sure.
And it's called The Vital Factors of Communication and Presence. And do you need to tell us where you're picking up? Or?
Sure, yeah. So this memoir is centered when I was around 10 years old, and I was on a vacation skiing with my brother and my dad in this specific moment. And we're going on some fairly easy runs, but I am looking for a challenge, and that's about where we're starting here. Mm-hmm. All right. It was our third day on the slopes, and my dad, my brother, and I were out on our usual ski route of easier runs. That morning, I had decided to voice to my father that I was extremely bored with all the catwalks and little hills I needed to participate in with my brother. Sure, you can take this run over here, my father says as he gestures to a map with his ski pole. They meet up at Eagle Bawn, right by the Haagen-Dazs in Lion's Head. Just don't get lost. Being the prideful and arrogant 10-year-old I was, I partly paid attention and quickly rushed to the harder run, leaving my father and brother in a storm of quite unnecessary powder, which I loved to do to show off. The chalky and icy snow descended on my stickered gyro helmet as I comfortably skied. It was getting challenging to see in front of me, so I slowly made my way down the run. As independent as I was in the moment, I was starting to worry. White-hot sweat trickled down my face, clashing with the warm felt on my helmet's buckle. What if I take a wrong turn? What if I don't end up in Lion's Head? What if I get lost? These dooming thoughts were swirling in my brain, making me tired and sick to my stomach. The run was with powdered moguls wrapped around the mountain like a picnic blanket, and me as the little ant searching for its lunch. Lunch. My stomach felt like a pit without Blue Moose Pizza, the small pizza restaurant in Lion's Head. Before I could dream any further about a warm pizza slice, I halted to a stop. Swish. There before me lay a split, a junction in the run. I felt like I was about to collapse. I didn't see this on the map, but I only know one thing. Only one way leads to Lion's Head Village, to my father, to my family. I looked at each run sign with increasing panic. Unlike many of the signs posted around the mountain near the villages, these only said difficulty and the given name. If it didn't say to Lion's Head or to Vale Village, I wasn't close enough to the bottom. Time stopped. I'd already spent 3 minutes that felt more like 3 years contemplating my choices at this junction. I would wait no more. Head up and skis forward, but lacking true judgment or confidence, I glided towards the next run. By the time I knew I'd taken the wrong turn about a minute later, I was lightheaded and had a throbbing headache from the altitude. Wherever my father had pointed on the map, I was definitely not there. I didn't know where I was on the mountain. I felt a million miles away from where I should have been. I needed to lie down. My brother's distinctable blue jacket and neon green helmet were nowhere in sight. Just as I was breaking down, a sliver of hope cut me out of my despair. A member of the ski patrol at the slow zone about 50 feet down at the foot of the mountain, hanging up his skis to get something to eat at the base village. What the village was called, I had no idea at the time. The only thoughts in my head was how they help people lost or hurt skiing, and in this case, I was that lost people. I didn't even hesitate. Before I knew it, I was skiing down, feelings of fear and guilt circling me like the growing wind. In no time, I was sitting in front of one of the ski patrol's base waiting rooms, sweaty fingers sticking to the blue wooden chair they sat me in. The room I was in was worn down and smelled like melted plastic and snow. The workers were trying to distract me with coloring books and hot chocolate, but it didn't work well whatsoever. I mean, did they really expect me to mindlessly color a ski school safety coloring sheet when all I wanted to was to leave and enjoy the rest of the day with my family? It felt like ages after the ski patrol finally called my father to let him know where I was. Suddenly, a member of ski patrol walked in with a smile on her face. Your father's coming down Gondola 1 right now. He'll be there in 5 minutes. I started to cry happy tears and hugged her. Gondola 1, that's where I was. She laughed, hugged me back, and ruffled my messy ponytail. You had quite the adventure today, kid.
Wow, that was amazing. Any comments, Naisha? Yeah.
It was really good, like the imagery. Like, I felt like I was there along with you, like skiing with you, and I could feel like the panic and the desperation. That was really good.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of times that I've been lost, or at least kind of lost by way. And talking about the split in the road and trying to figure out which one to take and not having, you weren't expecting it at all, really made you feel like you were there.
Thank you.
So it's something. Have you ever tried writing a memoir at all?
No, not really.
Yeah, I think it's, and have you tried writing?
See, yeah, that was what I was going to say. It's funny because I've never tried writing a horror before. It's really interesting.
Yeah, you too show a great range of writing. You're both 13. What was it like to learn your writing had been picked as part of the awards program?
For me, it was like really exciting. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I was just super happy and excited, and I couldn't wait to tell everyone.
Oh, that's great. How did they notify you?
There was the website, so you had to navigate to your writing, and it either left it blank or it wrote either honorable mention or gold key.
Oh, wow. And how about for you?
Yeah, this was my first submission, first year I've submitted anything either in the writing category or in the art category. This was the only piece of writing I submit, and I was really shocked because I thought out of all of the pieces of writing that were submitted, mine was picked. I was just very surprised because although this was a school assignment and although I did get a good grade on it, obviously, I didn't expect it to go to this level of recognition, so initially I was very shocked, and then I was very excited. I told all the members of my family, and I was just really, really honored that I was chosen.
I wish you both continued success, Elena. Nisha, thank you. Is there anything else either of you wanted to say that maybe we didn't have a moment to say prior to right now?
No, not really, not for me.
Yeah, I think we covered everything really well.
Great. Well, thank you both for being here, and I hope we'll see you again with more writing.
Yeah.
Take care. Elena and Aisha, both honored as part of the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards.